Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles transform the way they work. After closing their New York City showroom, they started doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, people from all over the world can come into their showroom. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Welcome to the MIP. A lot to get to this week. A legend retires. I will tell you who is the scariest signing for my Dallas Cowboys as the NFL free agency takes top stage. Also, we go inside with one of the greatest insiders. Jay Glazer joins the show. Now, folks, I want to start this with something new. I want to explain to you what I'm going to call the Bang 8. That's 8 minutes on something I have to hit. In a play on a Bang 8, that play we called Help Me Win 3 Super Bowls. Anytime it's third plus 7 plus 8, we're going to the Bang 8. You can't run a slant route because that's for third 3 to 6, 3 to 7 because the slant, I get it, bam, right there. The Bang 8 is really a slant route up the field. I'm going to hit that fourth step at about 8-9 yards and slant right in, and me and the safety will meet at anywhere from 14 to 18 yards, and it's a bang, bang play. Right before you break the huddle, Troy will look at me and just say, go up big. That means you're going to get hit right in the mouth big, and I would have to come down with it. So we're going to start right now with the Bang 8. Let's hit these 8 minutes that I got to get to, and we will go up big. Let's start right off the top with what I'm scared about. Out of all those free agencies that got signed yesterday, and a lot of big money got passed around, and take Trent Williams getting $138 million for the San Francisco 49ers, I'm telling you right now, he's underpaid. I know everybody's going crazy on that contract, but if you ever watch this dude play, this is a man child, man. This dude is so big, so fast, so strong. He's worth every penny. He's even worth more. I just want to throw that out, but that's not what scares me the most. What scares me the most is Ryan Fitzmagic going to the Washington football team. Washington football team has one of the best defenses in the league, and they got young talent on that defense. And you see in free agency, they signed William Jackson III to go on that corner. So they just got better on that defense. That's what Ron Rivera wants to win with. He wants to win with his defense. But that offense, you knew no matter what, the offense didn't have anything. It wasn't anything on that offense that scares you. And right now, still, the talent base on that offense doesn't scare me. But you put that talent base with Ryan Fitzmagic. Oh, my God. And there is no understanding of plan of attack on that offense because Ryan Fitzpatrick has gone everywhere. He has learned everything, and you don't know how he's going to attack. You don't know if he's just going to try to run the ball. You don't know if he's going to try to make all these Fitzmagic plays up the field. That little thing that he has scares me for my Dallas Cowboys and him going to the Washington football team. I'd rather them get a young guy that they're trying to build on becoming the next quarterback. But taking Ryan Fitzmagic, if they get any kind of any little inkling of magic on that offense, it could be a scary situation. It'd be hard. Because as I said to him last year, I can't do nothing but respect this man, Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he shows up cold off the bench, and he showed up in so many spots, and he made plays, man. This man has made plays. He's played for a lot of teams, but he's made plays. Can no one ever say the greatest thing a man can ever say when he leaves time and goes on to eternity, to every stop I made, I had value. Ryan Fitzpatrick, every stop that man has made, he gave value. And I'm a little worried about the value he's about to give to the Washington football team in the NFC East with my Dallas Cowboys. Slap myself. Let's get out of that. Let's move on from that. Let's get off that. But speaking of my Dallas Cowboys, we lost the quarterback Andy Dalton last year. Hold on. Let me mourn for it. Okay, the mourning's over. That's all I'm saying. We lost Andy Dalton. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Whew, stop it. Stop that, Michael. That's not fair. That's not fair. Because on the other side of it, we lose him. But who gains them? The Chicago Bears. And it's one thing for the Chicago Bears to say, okay, we got Andy Dalton after Mitch Trubisky. And then, man, Andy Dalton's going to be the replacement, just a little placeholder until we get our quarterback. If it had gone that way, okay. Then it would have just been about patience for the fan base. But it didn't go that way. Because Russell Wilson put out this statement that he would possibly pay for the Bears. So now the fan base for the last couple weeks have been oh so dreaming every time they put head to pillow about Russell Wilson being their quarterback. Can you imagine? Sleep well, Bears. Go to sleep, Bear. Because Russell Wilson is your quarterback. And then they woke up to the nightmare that really Andy Dalton is your quarterback. They were saying, let me go back to sleep. This got to still be a dream. But you know, this is the reality. Andy Dalton. That's what, folks, can you imagine? I'm sorry. Let's show some empathy. Can you imagine being a Chicago Bear fan and for the last 2 weeks thinking about Russell Wilson being your quarterback and ending up with Andy Dalton? You just went from 8-8 to say, I don't know, 8-8? I'm sorry. Hey, stick in there. We never know what may happen. We'll see what will happen. I'm surprised. I didn't hear any noise about Chicago going after Deshaun Watson. I know you're not going to get him, so that's what people are saying. I just want you to try anyway. You know what I'm saying? But speaking of Deshaun Watson, there's a lot going on around Deshaun Watson, and some of it is serious, serious situation going on off the football field. Everybody's probably hearing about it now that there's somebody filed a lawsuit against Deshaun Watson for a sexual assault and some kind of massage thing that the guy's alleging went wrong. Nobody knows any information about that. It just kind of went out on IG, so we can't even discuss it without any information in. And we'll get all that information and discuss it then. But on the football field, what's going on with the Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans? They're both sticking their sides and saying, we're not moving. Houston Texans saying, we're not moving. Deshaun Watson said, I'm not playing. And the Houston Texans saying, well, we just signed Tyrod Taylor. Now, I was on air the other day, and they were trying to tell me, well, they're saying the signing of Tyrod Taylor has nothing to do with the Deshaun Watson situation. Stop that. That's impossible. It's just stop. That's like saying the crust has nothing to do with the bread. Just stop. It all has something to do. If they're making a decision at the quarterback position, it has something to do with Deshaun Watson. Period. So, yes, they are preparing to either try Deshaun Watson and see if he'll sit out, or they are starting to hear the rumbles of Deshaun Watson not coming back and never playing and starting to hit their ear gate. And they say, let's go get us a guy that we can place in between this, and then we can go get the assets from Deshaun Watson, get us a young guy, and Tyrod Taylor can lead and bridge the gap until that young guy gets ready. Either way, they have set themselves up. I think for the latter. And I think the situation that has happened off the football field with Deshaun Watson will bring some pause and calls to what's going on the football field. But we, like I said, we'll wait to see what happens with all that. A lot of noise and a lot of talk also about what's going on in New England. Let me tell you my thoughts about that right quick before we get to Jay Glazer. Because when they signed Nelson Aguilar, peeps, I said to myself, wait a minute. That's not enough. How can you compete with all these dynamic, these prolific offenses with Nelson Aguilar? You know, that's just not enough. That's not going to be enough. And then after signing Jonnu Smith, they went on and signed Hunter Henry. I said, oh, no. Because when you first gave Nelson $13 million a year, I was like, nah. But you have Jonnu Smith, and then you add Hunter Henry. I said, whoa. Because now it clarifies what he's doing. He's going to play football inside out. He's going to take these two pass-catching tight ends, and he's going to get those two run-blocking tight ends that he got. He got a couple in the draft a couple years ago. And he's going to pound that ball right down the middle of the field with that running quarterback that he has in Cam Newton. He's going to play up the middle of the field, even throwing the ball, which will save Cam Newton's arm for throwing outside the ball, outside the line, outside the numbers. So also, get this, when all those defenses come down to stop what he does in the middle of the field, now Nelson Aguilar can have some real value one-on-one outside because he can run now. He can run by you. And he is great in transition. He's a quick guy in and out. The only thing that gives me any kind of with him is why he dropped so many balls in Philly. You know why? In Philly, there's a different pressure when you play for the Philadelphia Eagles. I know they gave me a standing ovation when my neck was broke. Had a broken neck, and they were like, I'm just telling you, it's a different pressure. That's how serious they are about their football. So now you have to play under that pressure in Philly. You see, your balls are dropping. Then you go to Las Vegas, where it's a new city. The fan base is not crazy. You know, you get some peace away from the field, and all of a sudden, all your confidence come back, and you play well. Great for you. I just want you to know there's going to be pressure in New England because they've had a run like no other, and they want to get back to that run. So I want you to be able to handle the pressure in New England, and I think he will. When Bill Belichick got both of those tight ends. Remember, guys, he had, I know we don't like saying the name, Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, because of all he did on the field, just, you know, you don't want to say his name, but he used those two in a great way. Remember, he met prolific offenses before playing physical football. You go prolific, I can't go that prolific. I'm going to meet it with physicality. When he beat the greatest show on turf in the Super Bowl, that's what he did. When he beat Atlanta Falcons and that great offense they had, that's what he did. He met all of that prolific, dynamic stuff with physicality. And this year, folks, he's about to meet it with physicality again. I like what New England is doing right now. Let's just see how it all plays out. And a man that knows a lot about how it all plays out all the time around the National Football League is next. I chat with Jay Glazer. And after I chat with Jay Glazer, stick around so we can give the proper goodbye to the legend, Drew Brees. Hey, joining the MIP, this man is from New Jersey, graduated with a mass media degree at Pace University, started his writing career as a reporter working for the New York Post, then got into the NFL, of course does work with the UFC, right now with Paramount Network and Bellator MMA, but he is the man known on the Fox Sunday broadcast, along with Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long, my guy Jimmy Johnson, and our guy Tony Gonzalez over there doing a great job. It's one of the greatest insiders in the National Football League, my man Jay Glazer. I should have said Jason Charles Glazer. Jay Glazer.
No.
Wait, what's wrong with Jason Charles? I never heard anybody call you that.
My mom used to be, you know, that, you know, again, we're from the Jersey Shore. And she'd be like, Jason. So I'm like, no. I got to make it Jay. And the only other person who called me Jason, because he knows it annoys me, is who would you think? Strahan.
I knew I was going to say Strahan.
Dude, shut up. I fucking hate it. Yeah.
But speaking of that now, you started as a writer with the New York Post, right?
I started before that. I was actually, dude, I was making, my first job was for this giant extra magazine. And man, it was in 1993. And a lot of people don't know this, but that was my first job. And the place went chapter 11, like 2 or 3 weeks in. So I didn't get paid all this time. And there I was, like out grinding. And my very first friend I ever had was my orthodontically challenged buddy there, Michael. And we met in 93. No one really talked to him because he got drafted to replace LT Sachs, and LT's still on the team. And Michael's from Germany, bad teeth and all that. And I wasn't, you know, I kind of wasn't like the other reporters as far as like, I didn't know their rules. And Pace was my second college. I got kicked out of my first. I was a grade A jagoff. And it was like one day God hit me with a lightning bolt. Like, what are you doing? And thank God I kind of went from all play to all work. But Michael and I, man, we built each other up for a long time, and took him till his fifth year till he finally like broke out. And just our work ethic and all that. So the Post, though, didn't come till a few years in. And they paid me, when I finally got my big break, they paid me $9,000 a year. And I made that and $450 a year from New York One TV from 93 to 99. So I got my break with CBS. So I know what the freaking grind is like, man. I lived in a lot of places I shouldn't have lived, and I didn't want to take anything from anybody else. Strahan actually offered to pay my rent, and I went fucking nuts on him. I mean, don't you ever offer me to this day, I'm like, I'll be the one dude who doesn't take anything from you ever. Right. And the only thing I take from now is his sanity.
And you know what, man? And Stray's funny with that now. Stray's funny with it. It's so funny. Right. And Stray's real strict about that now. You know, so you know Stray got all the money in the world, and he still has all the money in the world.
You're saying it's cheap is what you're saying.
I'm saying Stray is very direct. I hit him one time when somebody was playing New York and I need him to get some tickets for me. I say, man, I'm telling you, next time I see you, I'll give you the money, right? Next time I see you, give you money. And I said, just put 4 tickets under this name. He said, okay, playmaker, I got you. Put it. First time I saw him, because I know I got 16 brothers and sisters that always say, let me do, I'm going to pay you back. They don't ever pay you back. So I always say, I'll never do that to anybody. So the first time I saw him, I sprinted across the room, took out the ball, bam, 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 counted, gave him his money. He stared at it, Jay, for 10 minutes. Then he looked up at me.
That makes fast friends, dude.
He said, man, listen, man, ain't nobody ever paid me back, man. He said, ain't nobody. I said, I know. I guarantee you, I know.
And I tell you that,
anything I ask him, he'll take care of it, because that showed him what kind of man I was.
And I said, fast pay makes fast friends. But I tell you where it was a great lesson also, being friends with him early on, when at first he wasn't anything and then became a somebody, because I was able to take these same lessons I learned from him and teach it to Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture, Rashad Evans, who also weren't shit, and all of a sudden, boom, MMA became huge in UFC. So there's Michael and I, man, first 4 years of his career, again, it wasn't. And then the fifth year, he had a huge year, I think 15 sacks, got a big contract. And all of a sudden, the same people who we used to see at those restaurants for the last 4.5 years, who never said a word, started, boom, suddenly coming over, sitting at our table and offering them, these are all true, jeans company after jeans company, record label after record label. One dude offered him investment in Ostrich Farm. One dude tried to get him invested in Strawberry Picking Field. So I was like the bad guy. But I was broke. It didn't matter if I cracked someone. I was making $9,000 a year. It mattered, he did. So I would literally tell guys, hey, does this look like our office to you? And you guys haven't said shit to him in the last 5 years. Now you saw on TV, you got paid, you want to? No, it's not our office. So I was for a while. But then I also got to watch. And all these people come over and say, oh, man, could you imagine? We got this line all the time. I'm sure you hear it. Man, I got this great new thing for you. And could you imagine if this could be the next Facebook? And if you could have, because I always say, straight, 2 things where you don't have to invest. And they give it to you. My dad always taught me, mail money, right? Yeah. They give you, use your name and your likeness and let them give you stuff. Not, you can't lose it if you don't give it. So they would all have the same thing. Oh, we're going to offer you 2% of this. But if you invest $500,000, you can get 10%. And imagine if you could have 10% of what Facebook was instead of 2%. I would be like, straight. You'd be good with 2%. They're not really much different. 2 or 10% of Facebook. You loved it. We're good. Don't give it away. But I was able to do the same thing with my fighter friends when all of a sudden they just went from, you know, nobody knew who they were to boom, you're making millions. Right. And they would get, it would be the same exact thing. And I try and tell young players that all the time, man. They always go, oh, money, you know, my family and friends say money changed you. I'm like, yeah, damn right it does. You know, absolutely. Diddy's white party, way better than white and black stripes. No doubt. Money changes us. Absolutely. Man, you got to cut off those people who are going to bring you down.
There's a couple of things you said in all of it, Jay, that I got to pull out when I listen to it and snatch back. Like, one thing, because I find it interesting with the MVP and all the merging vets and players together, the work you do. You know, I always tell people our greatest promise sometimes lies in our greatest pain. You know what I mean? Our greatest pain can push us to our greatest promise. You talked about making all the mistakes and having all the problems prior to going to Pace, whatever school you got kicked out of. I understand that. I got kicked out of school. Yeah, I understand.
You've been kicked out of things.
I've been right there, baby. I know. But also say the only way you find peace with all of that is, okay, now how can I use it forward? Or I sit on regret all the time. Sure. But if I can use what I went through now to help others, then I give that a cause. You know, it says I went through something. And you're using that with MVP. Now, and I want to ask you about that first. Then I want you to come back and tell me, because how do you become when you have great friendships like you were just talking about with Michael Strahan? How do you hold those? That's a hell of a tight rope to walk, being a great insider and having such great friendship of guys in the league. I want you to tell me about those two things.
Well, that was one of the things that kind of like me and the other insiders at first used to be at war with, because I looked at it like, man, it's just sports. You know, we're escapism. We're not covering the Middle East. You know, and I looked at it like, I want to start relationships. I'm not going to use my pen as a weapon. This is in the early days. And they used to kill me over it. Wait.
You say you're not going to use your pen as a weapon.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Talk to the people about what do you mean by that?
Well, I think back then, especially, look, it was in New York, right? And it was like, man, the worse the back page, the more they're going to sell.
Right.
Right. So for me, and I've got a lot of tough stories. Look, I broke all the Balco stuff. And a lot of those guys who got popped were my friends. And I called them. I said, hey, man, I'm reporting this tomorrow. And I'm putting your name in it. But it's been, like, I'm going to give you a chance to at least say something instead of me just saying you're a cheater, you're a Roy Buter, you're this, that. At least our friendship allows me to give you that voice if you want it, you know?
Right, right, right.
I've had a lot of tough stories on friends of mine.
You did that with the incognito bullying story?
Oh, yeah, right. And a lot of friends of mine have gotten fired. And man, but the relationships for me, now, it kind of looked, let's go back to MVP. So the reason why I started MVP and the reason why I love the league so much is for me, and look, I've known I'm fucked up. But I'm good with my fucked upness. In other words, my fucked upness, I call it the gray. I've suffered from depression, anxiety since I was a kid.
Right.
And the things that get me through are what you just said, being of service, is what I call that,
right.
By using my experiences to help others,
right.
And having a team. Even though I cover the NFL, I felt like it was a team from, like, when I'm not around Howie and Terry and Jimmy and Stray and Kurt, after that, like February on, these months for me, I struggle a lot. And they know, and Howie, we'll call a lot of curtain. I struggled. So over time, I opened up, like I always had fight teams. And, you know, me having a fight team, that's why I felt comfortable. I felt safe in a cage. I feel safe on TV. I don't feel, even though you guys see me laughing, joke, I don't feel safe out there in the real world. And that let me do a lot of, you know, fucked up shit also. But as a result, I'm like, man, so I started Unbreakable, which is our gym, so I can always have a fight team when I'm not around the Fox guys. And then over the years, man, you see it, Stray and I, we've just seen too many of our guys we have relationships finish up in the league and they just go downhill. And my thing has always been to them. It used to be like, I come to them all the time. I'm like, not, oh, I used to play in the NFL. Dude, you played in the NFL, right? And your scars, you got to be proud of those scars. And you play in the NFL, like, Mike, you play in the NFL? That's not who you are. But what's different behind your ribcage that got you to beat out not 1,000 people, 10,000 people, millions and millions and millions, and then make the Hall of Fame? That's who you are. What's behind here? Not the uniform. And that doesn't suddenly just go away when you take the uniform off. Well, then being around so many veterans, because I've trained troops around the world and whatnot with mixed martial arts, and I saw when their uniform was coming off, they're going through the same struggle. So I'm like, damn, I need another team for my own mental health shit. So let me build another team here. And that's where I'm putting emerging our vets and players together, right, and getting our combat vets to look at it not like they come back, you know, they go overseas, they do what we think is great stuff, and they come back over here and just they hold their heads the same way ex-players. They're like, right, oh, I'm different. I don't fit in. And I'm like, no, you're different. Different is good. Different leads to success. Don't be a face in the crowd. Let's be the damn crowd. Let's start our own crowd. So we're in 6 cities now. We opened Seattle the other day. We're trying to open Dallas here in the next couple months. And in all this time, like in the last 5 years, because, again, the thing of when you lose your uniform, it's not the uniform. You're losing your tribe and you're losing your team.
That's right.
And you're losing a tribe. Most of us who are in these sports or war or cage fighting or football, we're pretty fucked up going in, right? That fucked upness leads us to go do this great stuff. You, right. In order to be great, you got to be crazy.
You got to be. Hey, listen, there's a saying that says the only ones who know how far they can go are those that have tried to go too far. You see what I'm saying?
I love
that's
that.
That's a true statement. The only one who knows how far they go are those that try to go too far. And that is that there's so much truth in that. And so much, Jay.
You got to give them a team again.
So much. I mean, that's it. That's everything.
Yeah.
What I do right now, what you do, we still have those teams, those units. When I go exactly around, right. But a lot of the guys don't. And a lot of the things we go through mentally leaving the game are the same thing vets go through. Even though the vets are serious. Like we joke, we don't joke. We say it to get ourselves hyped. We use all military terms. We in the fight. I got your back, brother. I got right. But you know, but
bombs, blitzing, all that. Yeah, no
right,
doubt.
Right. Bomb blitz, you're right. I didn't think about all of that. But so it's a brilliant idea to bring guys together and help them redefine who they are, because we've been marked by this or that, and all we know, and everybody schedule us up, man. So that's
why you just said that. You just said that too. Schedules up. So we have
schedule us up. That's
it. We have an Olympic water polo player, won 2 gold medals, silver medal. Cammy Craig. She came in. She's 33. She's retired, and she in her second time. So what we do is we train for like a half hour, just to give a burn against camaraderie. But after we sit, we have this mental health huddle, right? And we just talk. We open up our shit to each other. And she and the vets, they said it like the week before she went there. Then she came in and she said the same thing. She's like, I feel like in sports, like I went from kindergarten to boom, high school. Like my whole life, somebody's told me where to go, who to eat with, when to practice, what to eat, when to train. And all of a sudden my uniform go up. I don't know what to do. Like, it's all of a sudden you go from kindergarten to high school. You got your own locker. You got your own schedule. Man, it's like, I don't know how to do that. And the vets are like, because a lot of these cats, they sign up when they're 17, 18, 19.
Same thing. And they've been scheduled up all of the years.
Scheduled, right? But here's the problem with the vets. And here's the problem with our ex-players, right? The problem they have in transition is, yeah, the physical tone and scars. Yeah, but I want everybody to be proud of your scars. Like, I am a shitty fighter. I've coached a lot of fighters and football players over the years. So, man, I've herniated C2-3-4-5, ruptured L4-L5-S1 4 times. I don't have that anymore. L1-L2, tore this, tore that, broke my ankle twice, broke this 7 times. I'm proud of it all. Every fucking time I've been knocked out or anything, I'm proud of it because that's my only choice, right? And, you know, same with, like, when our players and our vets finish up, man, we got to get them to be proud of their scars and proud of their time and proud of what makes them different. But let's say in the military, they tell them not to talk about it. Right. They tell them it's not about you, it's about the team. And all of a sudden they're by themselves. Well, where's the team and how do you get a job if you don't talk about it? And same with our NFL players. Man, use what – like the reason why you are where you are and Strahan's where he is, it's not because you got – there's a lot of Hall of Famers out there and a lot of Pro Bowl players. Right. But you guys use that same work ethic. They got you to be great in football. Now you got to use that in your next step of life. And too many guys don't do that. So together, I'm just trying to coach them and do it together. And yeah, you can go after your dreams and deal with your darkness and deal with shit better when you got your locker room and your tribe. And I know how to create a fucked up locker room, so I'm trying to do that throughout the world.
Yeah, and those are the best locker rooms.
You've been around me too, man, right?
We call them messed up, but they're the best locker room because everybody being who they are, and you can walk into that. Anybody, anywhere you walk in, everybody's being who you are. Trust me, you grow as a person. That's the reality. Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles reinvent the way they work. When the pandemic hit, the bike shop had to close their New York City showroom. They found a way to reopen by doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, the team can meet with two or three times the number of customers than they could before. And people from all over the world can visit their showroom, learn more about their story, and others at Microsoft.com/Teams. Yeah, let me, since we're talking about merging vets and players, we're talking about guys leaving the game. How do you determine who you need to reach out to when you see him leave the game? Let's talk about Drew Brees.
I'm trying to get them all. I have a hard time with players.
Right, but guys.
No, I got a hard time. Like, vets, we're getting them. Because it's like the vets, they know if they have to go through the VA system, they have to get help in order to get the benefits. Players are too proud. They come in after.
Right, that's what I'm asking. Right.
Too proud. And, like, I'm trying to tell people out here. That's why I'm doing all this. Like, I'm not too proud to fucking tell people I'm not okay or I need help. Like, I'm very successful. I got a lot of stuff I've done. And every day of my life, I got to reach out to someone. I need help. I'm not great here a lot. And that's okay, right? That doesn't, my vulnerability does not make me weak. My vulnerability makes me strong. And that's what I'm trying to get these players to understand. But what's great is all of a sudden you come in. We had one player, I won't use his name, but he was suicidal before we met him here. And now, man, he like latched on. We have this one vet named AJ, who was Afghani, fled Afghanistan in the 80s, his whole family from like persecution, came here, joined the military, special operations. He's the first one back in Afghanistan after 9/11. Unbelievable story, right? And that's, we hear these stories and these vets don't know how to talk about themselves and brag about themselves. And we all got to do that. And this dude latched onto him. They latched on each other. That's what we're trying to do. Like they both look up to each other. And now all of a sudden this one dude, the NFL player, he ain't even thinking about doing this. He's now helping us with other players. And these two got, you know, it's, again, we're past the 5-year mark. And this is the thing I'm most proud of in my entire life. Of our MVPers, somewhere, I just asked the other day, I said somewhere in the 90th percentile of our MVPers attempted suicide before meeting us. Right. Since joining MVP, we have not lost one person to suicide. Mm-hmm. Not one. I know we're going to. But in the first 5 years, that's a pretty damn good track record. And it's not my secret sauce. It's them. It's the fact that all I'm doing is giving a locker room to us again. But I'm making them accountable. So what we're trying to do, and guys like you, when we go to Dallas, I'm going to need your help. I need your help paving the way to show people it's okay. Go over and get help. This is a safe place. These guys get us. These some bad SOBs over here. They get us. There's a group of brothers and sisters we can walk this walk with. I think there's something there. And it's, man, it's kind of been my life's work the last few years, but I've saved a lot of people, but dude, trust me, they have saved me probably more than I've saved them.
Yeah, Jay, and that's commendable work too, though, buddy. Cause the numbers are insane. I talk about it all the time. I mean, we give a great deal of lip service to military personnel. Oh, thank you.
Your service, yeah.
We fall way short of really showing them the thank you that for what they've done and what do and how we live and all that. We fall way short on that, man. So and even I was studying, I say it was like they were losing what?
It's 22 a day.
22 a day?
Every day. We have one group called the 27, the Marines, and we've saved a lot of them and helped. I've actually hired three of those guys. They've had 50 suicides on one team. One team. Can you imagine that? Bro, that's your whole locker room. Could you imagine if your entire locker room committed suicide? It's unimaginable. It's not okay. No. So, like our group, I tell them, hey, guys, here's it. Like the reason why I think we haven't had a lot of suicides is, one, I'll say, guys, listen, it's the power of suggestion. When you lose a teammate, first of all, the social media day and age now, we all think our lives suck because we're comparing it to somebody else's filtered fraction of a second. Like, We all feel left out. We all feel like our lives suck. Think about when we were little kids. Even then, we felt left out if we weren't invited to certain things. But it wasn't for the world to see. It was over the next day. Now it's never over. And so if you think your life sucks and all of a sudden this guy over here, Johnny just killed himself, everybody's crying about Johnny, they're saying to themselves, well, shit, my life sucks. I'm unloved. Look at the love Johnny's getting. Why not me? So I'm putting that elephant in the room. And then every time one of their teammates does, unfortunately, follow through with a suicide, I look up to the whole group, and there's been a couple that, so it wasn't our group, but it was teammates of theirs, right? And originally I would say, guys, look at this group right now. We had, you know, this happened earlier even on Zoom, there was somebody who killed themselves a couple months ago. And I said, hey, look, I said, look at how many of you are crying right now. I said, you know, there's 90 people on this call. We'll get like 80, 90 people in one meeting, one call. I'll say 80 of you in this room right now crying. Do you think your brother who killed himself is up there right now? Whatever afterlife you think of, do you think he's in there right now celebrating, seeing y'all crying, like, yes? Or do you think he's up there like, oh my God, no, what did I do?
I didn't know I mattered that much. I didn't know I mattered that much.
Damn, I wish I could. I didn't mean to cause this kind of pain to them. What did I do? I wish I could take it back. I said, well, this is your chance at a do-over right here, because you're seeing the pain you would have left behind. And man, it is, I get a little choked up talking about it, because they took that. And we had one vet named John Fulmer who told us straight out, like, Jay, I didn't know we hadn't lost anybody yet. And I committed myself to committing suicide last week, and my gun wasn't there. So I just said, you know what? It's not there. I'm not going to follow through. He said, I didn't realize we haven't had any. I promise I won't be one. And then that became a rallying cry for a while. Don't be one. Like, this group of players and vets are the coolest, smartest, most vulnerable, emotionally cool-ass group you'll ever be around in your life. And they are, I mean, Mike, they are some bad sons of bitches there now. We think we're cool that sitting behind a cage over here. These
you
guys
got them sealed.
Next level.
You got them seals and all those.
They're
guys.
Next level, man. Oh my God. But the shit they like, the way they open up, and the way I thought about this too, is my best, most vulnerable talks have come in a cage after Randy Couture has beat the shit out of me. And Chuck Liddell's beat my ass. We just open up about everything. Like, no one's questioning our man or womanhood or manhood, but the group, man or womanhood. Same thing with this group.
Those are my two dudes.
Questioning their man or womanhood, you know?
Those dudes you mentioned, all those are my dudes. I did Dancing with the Stars with Chuck Liddell.
Oh, you remember?
I did Randy Couture. We did
Jones. You were doing with Chuck, right? Do you remember what happened right before you and your first show?
Oh, no. I remember something went down with Chuck.
So here's what happened. I'm there with Chuck, right?
Right.
And, you guys doing your little rehearsal. And you come, you're like, you poke your head out behind the curtain. Glaze, can you come here for a sec? I said, hey, what's up? You come back and you go, hey, dude, your guy's scaring the shit out of everybody. And what do you mean? Chuck's back there warming up, like he's getting a cage. He's scared
of the shit out of everybody. They're different guys, man.
He cooked over. He thinks he's in the competition, right?
And they're the coolest dudes in the world when they're just chilling. But when they get to that flip mode, it's a whole different monster come out of them, man. I'm telling you, I saw it in Chuck when we did Dancing with Stars. I saw it in Randy Couture. We were doing Pros versus Joes, right? And this little dude coming in, he's finna mess with Chuck. He's finna mess with Randy Couture. Randy went to a whole different place. Like, Randy. It's a game, man. Don't hurt these people. It's a game, man. He went to a whole different spot in his head. I'm like, hey, somebody gonna get hurt out here, man.
I walk over, Chuck. Hey, dude. You're scaring the shit out of people. It's like, I'm getting ready. No, we can't get ready like this, man. If you're scaring Mike Irvin, you're scaring everybody.
Oh my God, that's funny, man.
Hey, and Randy has no off switch. Randy's so fucked up. So we've trained 1,200 NFL players in our MMA cross training program over the years since Jared Allen on, right? And back in the day, man, when we were still trying to figure this out, Randy would pick our lineman up and slam him. I'm like, dude, don't pick these, don't slam these offensive linemen down. He goes, why? They got to learn how to get up. I'm like, no, they don't, dude. Has nothing to do with their position at all. This is just you being fucked up. So we got Randy about 8 years ago to stop doing that to people. But he, dude, he had a heart attack in our gym. Full on Widowmaker heart attack this past year and finished the workout and then walked to Cedars-Sinai because he didn't want to deal with traffic.
Yeah, he's a different guy.
Or parking. He's different.
A different dude, dog. Randy was coming. He said, let me show you my. He said, no, stop. I said, stop playing. I said, you ain't got to show me nothing. I hear you. Don't tell me. Don't show. Don't touch me. I'm like, don't touch me, Randy. Stop playing. He's my boy, man. I love him. We have some great time.
We were at dinner because we trained the whole Saints team like 4 years ago or something like that through training camp. So I flew in, me, Randy Couture, and this guy, Jason Borba. And we go to dinner with Sean Payton. We're out there. And then, you know, Randy, we was having some cocktails. Well, Sean starts getting a little rambunctious, starts doing stuff to Randy. All of a sudden, Randy goes, takes his watch off. Guy said, whoa. Sean's like, this is great. I'm like, no, Sean, no. Sean, trust me on this. Sean, you were 4 seconds from going to sleep. Trust me on this.
Hey, trust me.
And Sean kept fucking with Randy like, Sean.
Don't let him touch any part of your body, because they will take you down, man. But Jay, seriously, man, y'all bring your own man. Besides, with all the work you do, man, honestly, that right there is to be commended over all things, man. That really is. And understanding that psyche of players and the vets, man, and doing the foundation work you've done there, it's just been incredible. Hey, we
Fox,
got a guy.
Fox has given me a great platform. God's given me a great ability to communicate. I got to use them both to. Man, I just can't take. I got to, like I said, like, helps me through my depression is to be of service. And that's one of it's the best antidepressant I've used. So it's been a big help for me, man.
You studied it and you understand what makes a man tick in that sense. Drew Brees just announced his retirement. Mm-hmm. And we talk about being scheduled up. Drew Brees obviously is going, I guess, he will be working with NBC. So he'll have that next chapter and that next place figured out for him. Give me your thoughts on his career and his retirement.
Oh man, he was what him and Sean did. It was bigger than football. You know, they helped help the city rise back up. You know, what I mean, literally from the ashes.
Were you at that Monday night game?
No.
When they played the game, they returned back in that stadium. It was incredible,
man. And
it was incredible.
That's why I said like sports. We're supposed to be escapism.
Right.
We get so pissed off about, no, we're supposed to be escapists and things like that. That was so unifying and just beautiful to see that it was sports. It wasn't politicians, right, who made them rise up. It wasn't money. It was, man, from what sports does behind our rib cages.
And Drew had already talked about it when he made the decision. I want to rebuild this city. And the dude.
And him and Sean got lost, like, in the lower ward, the ninth ward.
Right.
On that trip, and Sean was like, I don't know where I'm going. It was not a great place to get stuck in. But, you know, I was in Cabo about a month ago, and then Drew happened to be in the same place. And we just talking about it. And I'm like, you know, it was interesting because I'm like, when are you going to announce it? I had broken it on – look, I reported on his last game because we have like a minute left in our pregame show. And it's Saints against the Buccaneers. And I realized, man, we're all talking about Brady. No one's talking about Brees. So I said, hey, listen, guys, this is Drew Brees' last game. If they lose today, this is the last game. Even if they don't, this is the last game ever at the Superdome. And people kind of like, oh, you should have better announced it. But no one was talking about it. So when I was sitting down there with him in Cabo, he was like, hey, so when am I retired? I'm like, I'll let you know. You know, we're joking around. But it brought me back. When you guys retire, we think it's so easy. And I went through the Strahan and then Gonzalez. It's so hard. Right, for that finality, like, you know, you're done, but to actually make the call and go, hey, I'm done, to call the owners and be like, I'm not going to play anymore. That's way harder than any of us actually realize. That finality of, yeah, I'm taking that step. That's what we're talking about MVP. Like, you're going to transition right now. Something you've done your entire life, you're never going to do it again. It's horrifying to make that call, right? When you want to make it,
right.
I'm sure,
right.
I mean, there's, you know, a little different, but it's still harder, right, to actually make.
No, it was different. I called every doctor I could to try to get somebody to say I could still play. And it was – and you know what made – like what made my – when I came back and told my lady, I said, listen, I think I can still play. And she said, you can't put us through that. Like,
wow.
Any hit, you could break your neck.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to be thinking every time you say, you can't put us through this? You know what I mean? Dude. That's what made me realize. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. Like, I really got to stop playing. Even though people had told me, you can't play. Like, I was really looking for a place and a way to play. So I know how tough that call is.
I knew it too, because when we were talking, he was like, and I was like, well, you know, listen, man, you spilled the blood. You deserve to do whatever you want. Then he starts putting out those videos of him working out again. I'm like, oh, no, what you doing? Right.
But Jake, okay, on that last show, how do you make that call? You're his friend. You're around Drew, you know, and you're even if he didn't say anything to you, it was a smart thing to mention because it was his last game in the Superdome.
Yes, and we were talking about it.
So that's that thin line I'm talking about. How does Drew say, well, okay, you would violate my trust in this now, because I'm around you.
That's information I didn't get. I had known it, and I had known what would happen for the last 2 years, how it all played out. So, look, just in this case, it's something I felt really would have done the viewer good to look at it. It's not just Tom, it's Drew too, perhaps his last game. And Fox agreed with me, but I remember talking to Troy about it, because Troy was even like, oh my, what do we do with this? Because it's like, is this Drew? Is it not? I hear what you're saying. You know, that's my job, to kind of figure out which ones we go with and which ones we don't. Those pregame shows in the playoffs were shorter. And it was, again, it was Brady. And we talked about Drew, but not this could be the last game. And once we did that, things shifted over and we were talking about the broadcast and we got the video of him, you know, perhaps saying goodbye, but we didn't talk about it, you know, really much before that at all. And so that was a decision I thought in hindsight, and that's what I told Drew too. I'm like, I think you would have, look, I don't know if you're pissed or not, but he's like, I'm not pissed. But I said, I would think you wanted, because it was so overshadowed, to get people to actually be able to send you off without forgetting to send you off.
Right, and that's funny because Sean Payton said they plan on sending him off better because Drew snuck everybody. We want to make sure we give you a better send off. You actually ended up helping him at least if somebody.
On
the way out, that's what they said.
And that's what I was thinking. I'm like, listen, he may be, but I'm helping him because that's what I said to him because he was messing with me. I'm like, what am I retiring? I'm like, listen, and he's like, I'm not pissed. I'm good. So that's a conversation we had.
Jay, in your business now, we're getting, you know, this business change. It keeps moving and keeps growing, getting bigger. Like right now, all you see with all these quarterbacks moving around, and some of the announcing they're moving around on social media with all of this. Your job is to get it to everybody before everybody else have. Yeah. And now social media has come in. How does that affect what you do?
You know what? It affected me years ago. So first, look, I was the first minute-by-minute Insider of America, me versus the great Len Pasquarelli, great Chris Morton, the great John Clayton. There wasn't anybody else. It was us. I was doing it for some other thing than CBSSportsLine.com. And I remember reporters pissed me over that because it was like all of a sudden they'd go on deadline, have a scoop for the next day, and boom, here I come with a big scoop. Joe Gibbs returned to Washington. And Washington Post has that for next morning, but I haven't. At 10 o'clock the night before, you know? So for a while, it was me versus, you know, two guys at ESPN, then three, then four.
Was that like the touchdown for you? Was that the touchdown for your business? Will you get it at 10 o'clock that night?
Spygate was my touchdown. Dennis Spygate video for me was everything. That changed my life. Thank God almighty. And it validated me to Howie, Terry, and Jimmy. And then all of a sudden, NFL Network came around. All of a sudden, they had Insider, and Schefter was there at first. And this thing started getting bigger. Well, Fox just me. I'm a lone wolf. I've always been that way, right? And it got bigger and bigger. And then when I realized, man, every time we break something nowadays, everybody's just stealing 2 seconds later. So what I'm going to do now, you know what? I'm going to transition out of that. Let all these guys do what I had done for the first decade. They can all fight about this stuff. And when I have something big to break, you know, 2 years ago, hey, Odell Beckham will be traded from the Giants. Bam. Something I can come out of left field, I'll have it. And what I'm hoping to do also now is, man, when I got a different angle or more insider info on something than everybody else, because just the breaking news business has just changed now. Everybody just
when
you have it, everybody else has it 2 seconds later. So I just want to always now have. If I can break something, great. But I used to try and break every single freaking thing, which is what like the Schefters and the other guys do right now. And that wasn't a bad existence for me. So
you know, it's funny. it's so interesting as you think about it, because you talk, you're right. You talk about how to, you know, reposition and keep moving forward. That's what you do with the merger vets and players. That's exactly what you do in your own business. Because like you said, now even players break news with their own Twitter. Right, you know what I'm saying? With their own Twitter. And I always talk about that. And I used to, it used to be funny because the information, the inside guy used to just break the information. He didn't give an opinion on the information. He just gave you the information. And now guys can break the information and give an opinion on that. And Jay, you saw that turnover. You saw that crossover. That's why you're now able to host and do the things you do.
Right, right. No, so I had to do that. And then I still want to be as insider as ever. My job is Fox NFL Sunday. You know, I don't work for Twitter. So, you know, my job is to break news then on Fox NFL Sunday. And thank God we're you know, most successful show that's done it. You know, we've been around for a long time, and we try and be, you know, personalities and entertaining and just give fans a different perspective than anywhere else they could hear it. You're right. I had a shift also into hosting, and I started hosting MMA, and, you know, and then I started, somehow I ended up getting cast as Jay Glazer on Ballers. So for 5 years. So that kind of changed my life a little bit too. And man, I'm just trying to have fun out there now, but still, yeah, I'm still making my football calls are still as much as they ever were.
Right.
I just realized now, man, I'm not going to kill myself over, you know, constantly putting stuff out that's just taken. And I used to fight with ESPN about it all the time. And I made that kind of I did it on purpose for a while, made it like it was David versus Goliath, like it was really pissing me off. It wasn't. I thought it was a good brand. So I was making fights with them about stealing my stuff. And, you know, they changed their sourcing because of me complaining about it openly. You know, I'd like talk to them like, hey, ESPN, last time I checked, my last name was not spelled sources.
Yeah.
Nobody else is doing that, right? Overall, man, I've tried to grow and shift as our business has.
Yeah, and it has grown, and it continues to shift, Jay. It's just a great conversation with you, man. I won't hold you much longer.
Real quick. One thing to ask, actually has shifted even more now, because I'm talking about mental health so much.
Right.
These same coaches and players and teams, GMs, who were calling me about insider stuff, they're actually now calling me about mental health. And
I've
got 4 GMs, coaches in therapy in the last 3 weeks. There's one team who called me because they had a suicidal player. They don't know how to deal with it. So I'm like, it's pretty cool that I could shift from still being an insider with football stuff, but now be a whole different type of insider they could turn to where I could help, you know, lift them up through the darkness when they need it.
Jay, and that tells you the trust they have in you. You know what I mean? Because that says something when they're going to an insider, it's to say, give us help with this, because more than likely they're trying to keep that someplace that, you know, they're trying to keep that private. Mm-hmm. So that's incredible, man. Incredible job on the trust that you built with the unions and the friendships and the relationships that you have built. Let's go quickly around. You see what's happening, man. When you see these quarterbacks moving around, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, you know, signed quarterbacks talking about wanting out. Have you ever seen anything like that? I think that's new. Is that not new?
Well, it's happened. It's just that there wasn't. It happened when you were playing. There just wasn't Twitter and Instagram. And think about it. Lawrence Taylor held out, right? First, how many weeks was it? I don't remember if he did he get back and play against you guys in that first game. I don't remember, right? Strahan and I did a story after the sack record that he's never going back, never playing for the Giants ever again. It was huge. I was a CBS doc, broke in the NCAA tournament about it. Right? Yeah, and then I got him and Tiki in a huge fight. He's back the next year. Like, there's been a ton of guys that have had contract disputes, but it seems bigger now because you're right. They have a social media voice.
Right.
And where in the past, it wasn't like that. They weren't so readily available.
Yeah. And it made it. And I thought at the time, I thought it was that the clubs had an advantage because the clubs could get to the insiders and get the news out, and the players was just like, you know, you can say it didn't get out. And I thought that was an advantage. And now that kind of levels off.
The agents have more power now than they did because of these guys want information so much that they're like, all right, well, here, I'll help you with this, give you this stuff. But it allows them to get their message out to these guys as well. But yeah, it's gone up. I mean, there's a, it was a year Tony Gonzalez and a few other players didn't show up for camp and said they weren't going back. So it's not, I mean, this is something that's happened way more than anybody thinks about.
But with the quarterback position, though, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's I'm trying to, man, I got to go back and think about
it. When you go to that quarterback position, usually the quarterbacks get everything anyway. Why would they want to leave? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
so we're seeing something.
And when Tom moved on last year, everybody's like, well, we want to do that. Look how much Tom got, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times nowadays, too, look.
And look, wait, did they say look how much? They didn't say look how much money. They said look how much power. That's what they were talking about. The power Tom got to bring in the people he wanted.
A lot of guys care more now. And I'm not talking about Russell and Deshaun.
Right.
As players overall, it's different now because they care more about being famous than being great.
Right.
You know, two totally different things. And this is all goes into
I agree with that.
Right?
I agree with
and
that.
Being famous is not the same as being great.
Right.
I am close.
And
if
they
you're
got
great, you'll be famous.
Right. And we have a skewed understanding of famous because if you get 100,000 followers to the, you can be famous. It's what from their world. And you see that, you know, you see people trying to work towards that. I'm thinking, I'm with you. Let's work to be great and famous will follow. Don't try to be famous.
If you're great, you'll definitely be famous. No doubt. It doesn't work the other way.
Jay, you've been great at what you've done and what you do. That's why you got famous at what you've done and what you do, man. I appreciate you taking the time, man. You just let me peek inside that insider's world because it's such a fascinating part. And this is a great time to even understand how that all works and the depths you got to go up to moving it forward, man. And also to dig into the great things that you've done, buddy.
And I appreciate it. Like I said, we're going to open Dallas here soon. Mike, I want you there the first time and then moving forward. Think of the voice you could have with players who need a place right now, a new team, a new locker room, how much good you could do, how many people you could save, dude. So I need you walking that walk with me, brother.
Yeah, I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. I'm coming to try to help save, but I'm going to need some help saving me, too.
Right.
I'm okay with that because, you know, we come from the same cloth, man. And I always say, like, we're 100%ers, so we have to make sure we're directing it in a good way because even if I'm doing something bad, I'm going to do it 100%. So I got to make sure I'm putting it in the right
way. We're fucking up all the way, no doubt.
So, you know, I appreciate you taking the time, buddy.
I appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Thank you. Thanks, buddy.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles transform the way they work. After closing their New York City showroom, they started doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, people from all over the world can come into their showroom. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
That was great, man. I just want to thank my brother, Jay Glazer, man. And I love having those conversations where you share and you are willing to go every and anywhere like he is, because that's what we really glean the most from those kinds of conversations. Speaking of one of the places he was willing to go, he shared with you some things about Drew Brees. I want to take a moment to talk about and to appreciate the career of this legend, Drew Brees. I want to start with this.
We walk away to go. Be everybody home.
Big plays all day.
Be everybody
send the ball home.
Be everybody home.
Big hits, no quit.
Be everybody. I'm in my own zone.
What?
I'm in my own zone.
What?
I'm in my own zone.
What?
It's time to show.
Hey, boy, listen, are you joking? Every time I hear that, I get hyped. Dude, let me tell you something, man. You do not want to be the dude that would have to line up and play me after that right there. You do not want to be that dude. Oh, God. I tweeted this, guys. I put it out on IG, right? I said, out of all the great moments this man has blessed us with, has just blessed us with and given us and left upon us all to enjoy. That's one of the greatest. And then I said, if you know, you know. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Man, that moment, when you hear guys talk about retiring and walking away from the game, and Drew Brees retiring, walking away from the game, and they come on and say, well, do you miss playing? I say, yeah, yeah, they'll tell you, yeah, I miss playing. But what I really miss is the locker room, the camaraderie, all of those things. There's not a feeling in the world like walking on a field, 53 men, knowing we're about to go impose our will upon another. Impose our will upon another. And that kind of chant right there locks you in like I don't know what, man, and gets you so hyped. We are coming like a mighty rushing wind. And it's incredible, man. Oh, my God. And to have your quarterback with the statue of Drew Brees right in the middle leading it. Oh, this is not like the group. Oh, okay, you over there and he over there. This your dude. He right in the middle, and he hit that thing, man. And he got rhythm now. That thing was rhythm up. I mean, it was rhythm up good, man. I'll tell you. Ooh, hey, that's one of the greatest moments Drew Brees has given me, and I was there. I was there when they returned, and, you know, in New Orleans. I've seen so many great, beautiful moments. I was at the Super Bowl when he won that Super Bowl for New Orleans. It was great. They were all great, incredible, beautiful moments. But him right there with his boys, with his dogs, with his guys about to take the field and protect their house. If you know, man, if you've ever been in a group like that, if you know, you know. Drew Brees walked away from that. And I'm going to tell you something, man. For the rest of Drew Brees' life, he'll never find anything to match that height. Oh, yeah, he'll find other things to throw his passion into. He'll find other things to throw his love into. And he has a beautiful family. I mean, he always has a job with NBC to do all of that. But that right there, you'll never get again. That's why I said, if you know, you know. And I guarantee you, if you ever get him down and talk the truth, he'll tell you, that's one of his greatest moments too. Him and his dudes locking in before they come in and pose their will and protect their house. I often say to you, man, that I, and you'll hear me because it's the core of who I am. I always say I measure men on distance travel because I want to look in your journey. I got to measure you accordingly. I don't care about what you have. Tell me about what you had to go through, what you endured, how hard you worked to get to what you have. Because I'm looking to be inspired. I'm looking for something that I can grab and give me hope. And Drew Brees' journey can give you that. When you think about him at Purdue coming out and people saying, no, you can't do it. You're not big enough. You're not tall enough. You're not going to make it. Going to the Chargers, then they draft another quarterback. After he was playing great. He was playing great with the Chargers in San Diego. That's when they were in San Diego. He was playing great. You're in the NFL that people told you we're not going to make. You're doing great on a team. And then they still tell you you're not great enough. And then right when he gets ready to leave, he hurts himself. He gets his shoulder hurt. He's out. He goes to Miami. They say, we don't know if you're going to play. You go to New Orleans. Sean Payton is trying to drive him around. You heard Jay tell you to show him, only one to show him the good parts. He got lost and showed him all the bad parts. And the bad parts are what brought Drew Brees to New Orleans. In the midst of his, get this, in the midst of his own struggles and battles, because he was coming off that shoulder, he has to be worried about his own future, he mistakenly fell into others' problem and made those he is too. See, this is the kind of measure I have for a man when I say I will measure you accordingly. Show me your journey. That says something. And not only did he overcome the shoulder injury, he fulfilled that promise and won that Super Bowl for that city. I was there that Monday night when the game returned to New Orleans, and I ain't never seen anything like it. I swear, I put it in my Hall of Fame speech. I was there on the field working that game in that Super Bowl when they won that game. It was incredible. Drew Brees did that. My dad would always tell me, great men will see farther than they can run. For a while, it confused me. Didn't know what he meant. As I got a little older, he helped crystallize it for me. He said, Michael, a great man is never going to see the end of what he begins if he starts something great. He'll never see the end. So even if it starts a family, his kids, kids, kids are going to have kids. What he puts in his kid, he wants to get in his kids, kids, his kids, kids, kids. He'll never see the end of it. Great men will see farther than they can run. Drew Brees saw farther than he can run. What he did for that city will be here long after he leaves time and go to eternity. And as he leaves the football field, I just want to say, big ups, my brother. I see you in 5 years in Ken, and I so appreciate it. All the great lessons, inspiration, motivation that you've given us all in your time in the NFL. Be well in your next life, and we know you will. God bless, my brother. Safe travels.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles reinvent the way they work. When the pandemic hit, the bike shop had to close their New York City showroom. They found a way to reopen by doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, the team can meet with two or three times the number of customers than they could before. And people from all over the world can visit their showroom, learn more about their story and others at Microsoft.com/Teams.